Hey gang, it's Johnny. I just want to take a second to talk to you guys about engagement. Right now you're listening to the show, and I'm not sure exactly what platform you're listening to it on. But whatever platform you're listening to it on, you can subscribe to it and get an alert every time a new show drops, usually every Tuesday and every Friday. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Whatever platform you're listening on, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, any platform, you can subscribe to it. And if you can leave a comment, leave a star, share it on your social media, if it's something that you like, please do that. We encourage you to do that. And also, as far as social media goes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. You get to see photos even of my dog, of guests on the show, of different shows I play. Whatever it is that I'm talking about that I've been doing on the show, you'll be able to catch up on through Instagram and Twitter. Also, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Please do. You'll see photos of me with guests that have been on the show. Anyway, all I want to say is, you like a show, share it, use the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod. We'll give you a shout out. Thank you so much for listening to the show and engage. Let's get down. Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Gowdy.
When we talked.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys are all having a good week, whatever it is you do during the week. If you're here in Austin enjoying South by Southwest, hope you've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying it until I woke up today. I'm doing this on Thursday. I woke up today with kind of a weird lump in my throat and kind of a rasp in my voice that I don't really understand. Not sure if it's from talking too much. Don't know if it's allergies. Not sure if it's something weird like strep. It does have a weird thing. I don't have a weird taste in my mouth. There's something weird going on. I'm trying to make an appointment so I can go get it checked out so I can make sure I'm cool. I don't want to be infected with something and go out and infect other people. Anyway, I hope you're having a great time at South by Southwest. I've seen a lot of good music, gotten to be on a couple of panels, gotten to see a lot of old friends I haven't seen in years. So many. Got to be on this Austin Music Foundation and TuneCore panel on Tuesday. That was a lot of fun. My friends Anar and Jenny and Kate talking about 20 years of Austin Music Foundation, 5 years of the artist development program and all that we've been able to do, which has been pretty exciting. And then one of our artists got up and played a stripped down scent, Quentin Arispe. Quitting in the past lives. I know you've heard him on the show. Anyway, I hope you guys keep on enjoying South by Southwest. There's still a few days left, man. If I check out okay, I'm going to a lot of stuff on Friday and definitely Friday night and Saturday night as well. So maybe I'll see you out there if you're out there. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Johnny and Carly Wolf, known as the Ghost Wolves, return to the show today. They have a brand new album. Their third album, Never Die, drops on June 3rd. But they have a couple singles out and videos and stuff for the songs Devil's Vine and End of It All. These are singles that are out now. You can get out there and see the Ghost Wolves at theghostwolves.com. It was great catching up with Johnny and Carly. They've spent a lot of time writing music, retooling their sound. You'll notice these songs sound a little bit different than past Ghost Wolf records, which is what you want your favorite bands to do, is evolve. Always great catching up with those guys. They are actually playing live this Sunday, Sunday, March 20th at 2 p.m. at Alejandro's South by Southwest party at the Continental Club. They'll be playing at 2 p.m. Lots of great bands on that bill. They'll also be playing Sunday, March 27th at 6 p.m. at the Spider House Ballroom. Now, listen, gang, they are doing something special with their merch sales. They've joined Bands Band Together. And that is a group from the Ukraine started by a friend of theirs that was in a band that is helping refugees get out of Ukraine during this horrible, horrible time. So I will put a link in the podcast to the Bands Band Together part of their website so that you can go there and donate some money or buy some merch and they'll donate some money. I think it's a good amount of money. I think they're giving like $5 per purchase. So get out there. Let's help out people in the Ukraine and let's help out Johnny and Carly Wolf. They're making great music. We have a great, great time catching up over Zoom over what's been going on for the last couple of years with them and what they think that 2022 holds for them. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Johnny and Carly Wolf, the Ghost Wolves. Let's get down. Good job. Plus, you have like a rock star stance when you can do like, yeah. Yeah. Just need a monitor to put your foot on while you're leaning into it. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you guys gotten back to playing shows? I mean, I know you're doing like the Alejandro thing and a thing at Spider House, but have you been playing like during 2021 and stuff?
Let's see.
We had our first one last Friday at ABGB.
Yeah, first one of 22 was last Friday. And then we played like maybe two shows in 21 or three. I think it was three shows in the whole year.
So not really, not that much.
What got you out to do those shows? Like what, like numbers were down and like.
Yeah.
Well, there was like a break in the surge, you know, where it was like, felt like we were kind of in the clear before Omicron.
Or before Delta.
Before Delta.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet. Like everyone's getting vaccinated. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a show at 310 during that time. That was great.
Yeah, was it like summer, July of 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played a super crowded show at Hotel Vegas, and it was just so crazy. People were in our faces and everyone was spitting on each other.
Sharing the microphone, you know, yelling in each other's face and just, it was crazy.
Did you guys manage to stay? Did you guys ever get it? The COVID?
No. Well, not that we know of, but when we were in Italy on tour when it first started over there.
Oh, you were?
And when we got, and when we got back, we were super sick. So, but we, at that point, you couldn't test for it. You know, it's so new. So we don't know, but we were both really sick and coughing and, you know, he coughed for like, I don't know, like a month, right?
Yeah, I had a, it was like 26 days. Yeah, I think we did, but it was just so early.
It's so weird. I have friends that were over there on tour and like in January and February of 2020. And there's always like, oh, but this one guy just got really sick for like 3 weeks. And you're like, oh, but that guy had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have been.
We probably, I mean, the amount that we were traveling and talking to people every night and close quarters, everything.
And
I think,
in Italy specifically.
Yeah. Specifically in Italy where it was all starting. Well, not starting, but starting in Europe.
That was like the first like real ugly scene was in Italy, right?
It was ugly. And we were watching it on the TV in the hotel and trying to translate what we could. And, you know, they had the people in the hazmat suits on the nightly news. And it was just really eerie being there.
I don't mean to laugh, but it was fucking scary.
Yeah.
I imagine being there so you made it out? How long were you there?
Barely.
We were there like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and the last gig, we just decided to get into the car right after we were done playing instead of stay the night because we heard that they were closing the borders. So we thought, okay, we need to drive overnight and get out of this country so we can catch our plane because our plane was leaving from France. We were like, if we don't go, they're going to close us in here.
Yeah, we got spooked, you know.
It's like out of a pandemic movie.
Yeah, it's like a zombie thing. Like the zombies are coming.
But yeah, on the way driving from our last gig through Italy to the border, they closed off like a lot of the exits. You couldn't stop. You couldn't even get off the highway. You couldn't get gas. Like everybody was just shutting down.
Especially around Milan. When we were passing by Milan, you just couldn't get off the highway. It's just totally shut down. So,
you know, did you guys notice that Spotify kicked you off today? Spotify,
what?
Spotify kicked everyone off and you can't get on, log back on.
And I today?
Was, yeah. And you know, my first thought was like, that's Russian fucking internet terrorism. They
it
went
could
to Spotify
be.
And took away our Joe Rogans.
Hitting us where it hurts, you know? Yeah.
Wow. What?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird. I haven't looked.
I looked it up on Twitter right before I got on with you guys because I thought it was me.
Yeah.
And it's everybody?
It's
crazy.
The world. Yeah.
Maybe they're getting us where it matters,
they
man.
They locked us out.
I mean, there's a lot of information being disseminated on there right now. It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To hit us in the podcast. Get us right in the podcast.
So you guys, this is going to come out next Friday, but you guys are actually playing a show on that Sunday, March 20th, the Alejandro Escovedo South by Southwest Continental Club party at 2 p.m. You know who else is on that show outside of Alejandro?
Oh, man. Lenny K.
Whoa.
Lenny freaking K. Let's see. Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying. He's just one of our absolute favorite songwriters on the planet. Otis the Destroyer is a local.
Yeah.
Eve Monsey's. Alejandro's playing. And then there's always like some random badass that shows up at that. We played that party a couple times and it's just like a nexus for badass rock and rollers.
He always has the coolest friends who are in town from wherever, you know, and so they come by and it's fun.
Yeah. He's like one of the coolest cats there is. You guys have done shows with him, right?
Yeah,
we toured with him. He claims that he discovered us.
Yeah, we were discovered.
Because when we first started our band, we were playing at a place called the Ghost Room. You remember that place?
I remember the name. I don't remember it for some reason.
Yeah, it wasn't very long there, but he wandered in there one night when we were playing and saw us and asked the sound person, like, hey, you know, who is this? And they said, and then he got in touch with us a little while later, like, hey guys, you know, why don't you come and play with me? And we were like, what?
Whoa. Yeah.
And then he asked us to go on tour with him.
Yeah.
So we went on tour with him twice that year.
That's awesome.
And
he changed our lives, honestly.
No, he really did, because then us playing his Continental show there for South By, we got some connections to Europe, and then we were able to go tour Europe, and that's kind of where we got our start over there.
Yeah. Are you guys thinking of, I mean, you've got, first of all, congratulations on your new music and videos and stuff, and even since you've last been on that, the video for Devil's Vine is out now. People can check it out. It's really awesome. And the song is really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. Fun to work on that.
Yeah. You guys record there, right? At your house, wherever it is that you are?
Yeah. We have a studio at our house right now. And then also we record with John Michael Sheff from Night Glitter.
Yeah.
If you're familiar. Yeah. Cool, he's got a really great, cool dude, old friend, and he's got a tape studio in his house. So we're just kind of working in house studios right now.
What kind of tape?
Yeah, we have a tape.
Sorry.
We are on a quarter inch, tape Tascam 388 at our house.
Yeah, baby. Did we talk about this before?
I don't think so. We had
that's
it, man.
My favorite recording machine. The Tascam 388 is my all-time favorite.
Way.
Yeah, I used to have one.
You know what's funny?
I sold it in like 2003 because the channels started going out and I could see that tape was really starting to be hard to get. And so I sold it. And then like 3 years ago, I went to Threadgills to play a gig. And the bartender guy there is like, hey, Johnny, how's it going? I'm like, how do I know you, dude? He's like, oh, man, years ago, I bought your Tascam 388. And I was like,
can I have it back?
Do you still have it? And he's like, yeah. So I bought it back for like,
he was
like,
way.
Yeah, I'll sell it to you for $150. And
no
I bought
way.
It and
Stop.
it was in disastrous shape.
Really?
It just sat in a shed for years.
Oh,
that's
man.
Crazy.
Did you get it fixed up?
I turned around and gave it to a friend of mine who has another one for parts.
This
probably doesn't work, but you can probably, if you ever need like a roller or some kind of shit, you can get it from this thing. Anyway,
well, there's a couple of guys
machine.
In town that work on them, and when we bought ours, they gave it a once over, fixed up, you know, little things that needed it to be done. It wasn't that bad off, but a couple guys there in town will get it anything working.
How much do you love working? Isn't that thing cool?
It is so fun.
It.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to work in a studio without a computer screen and just be tactile.
Yes.
And the tape is really, I mean, we're learning. Carly's more experienced as an engineer, but I am not. So I've been definitely like learning trial by fire, you know, making big mistakes and deleting things that I shouldn't have. And, but it's really, man, drums sound really good on that thing.
Yeah, they do.
Really good.
They do.
No, we do have our limitations with it, and we're thinking about trying to expand from there so we can export all 8 tracks individually into the computer for mixing purposes, because right now as it is, you know, you can't recall a mix.
Right.
If you want to just, you know, do one little thing, you've got to start from scratch all over again.
Right.
And that can be tricky, like working with like a licensing person where they're like, oh yeah, that's great, but can you just do this little tweak? And we're like, actually, we can't.
No, we can't.
But
isn't there part of you that's kind of proud of yourselves for being like, sorry, we can't, we committed to the tape and that's what it is.
Yeah, but then there's the part that wants the paycheck.
Of course.
But yeah, you're right. There's like the artistic side. Yeah. We just did a thing with Jim Eno at his studio. He's doing a project right now, Project Traction. And we were in there and he said something about like working on tape is like reenacting the Civil War.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, actually it is. Like, why do you do that?
Why would you do that?
There's something romantic about it.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah, it takes you back. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But working with him in his studio was amazing too. That's like a whole different, that's like going off onto a spaceship or something.
Did you guys just did one song with him? Or are you going to do more stuff there?
We hope to do more. Yeah, we hope to do more, but we just did one. He's doing a project. It's Project Traction, and he's bringing in female and non-binary record producers. So he's getting girls into the studio, basically, because there's not enough in the business. And so they brought us in. So
Carly, you're out of the two of you guys, you're the engineer.
Well, I studied engineering in college at Texas State University, and but nothing about tape. It was all digital. You know, they were teaching the newest, latest technology, and you know, the tape is dead, you know, according to them. So I did.
Is that what they say when they're teaching? They say it's just dead. I mean, it is dead.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, they wouldn't even talk about it. They're like, we're not even. Nope. Meanwhile, there was literally a class where we were encoding and decoding, you know, ones and zeros digitally for, I don't even know why or what we were doing really, but it was just like not useful.
Right. You know, the main thing is not waiting for the rewind. That's the best of the best part of the transition from analog to digital is that.
Yeah. Well, our 388 has a really fast rewind on it. Actually, we got a compliment on that.
And it has
to zero.
It has a couple of location spots too, doesn't it? If I'm not wrong.
If it does, I don't know about it.
Using this tape machine, it's like a new frontier for both of us. So it's like, it's really fun.
So when did you get it? Did you these songs, the Devil's Vine and End of It All on there?
Those were on John Mike's 2-track or 2-inch his, which is also a Tascam. The
he didn't have a 2-inch at the time.
Oh, okay, it was half inch or something. Okay, well, it was on John Mike's, also a Tascam rig.
Yeah, he's the Tascam man, and he's been steadily increasing tape size over at his house. Now he has a 2-inch.
We haven't been there studio.
Since he's done that, but we want to go back.
He's next level. We're just level.
Yeah, he's really expanding over there with awesome vintage gear. It's cool.
What kind of gear do you guys have any? Do you guys go and borrow a bunch of stuff and like, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of outboard gear, just a couple of digital delays, some Boss stuff, one compressor, and we don't really even use that.
No, we don't. But when we mixed our record, John Michael came over with a rack of stuff and helped us mix it here with some additional gear that he brought. And
he borrowed some of that stuff from like Charlie Sexton and some other people that he just knows a lot of folks. So he's always got people's gear at his house. Right. So he kind of like, maybe we weren't supposed to say that, but he like brought a bunch of stuff over of other people's.
I mean, you know. in the world of stuff, look, I have a piano. I have a piano because of that kind of thing. I was looking to buy a piano like 12 years ago or something. And I was riding in a car from a gig really late at night with my friend Kyle Crusham. And don't worry, it's not too long. But he was Charlie's engineer. And so he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go to San Marcos and look at this 100-year-old piano.
Mm.
See about buying it. And he goes, dude, I think Charlie went to look at that piano today. Hang on a second. Huh. So he calls Charlie. Charlie says, no, but he got another piano that day. And he said, I'll give you the piano I have now. And Kyle was like, that's awesome, because the piano that I have now doesn't really fit in my place. And then he goes, hey, you want a piano? And I was like, yeah. And so there was like a three-way pass down. Like Charlie bought a new piano and two other dudes got new pianos because of it.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
I love that. So what kind of piano is it?
Mine's a Daewoo. You guys have seen it when it came out. It's like a 90s piano. Korean piano.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. We got into keys too last year. We got a Farfisa.
Yeah.
We got a really good deal. Yeah, Devil's Vine's on there, and then Carly got this.
And End of It All, right?
End of It All too. Don't you do the end of it? There's like a chord up or something like that.
Yeah, that's on the Farf.
Yeah. That's the Witches Flying Away.
Yeah. And then Carly got this really cool tube organ from the 50s, from up in Dallas, and that thing is awesome.
Yeah, the Hammond.
It's a Hammond. Yeah.
C6, I think.
C6. Called. Yeah.
It's a chord organ.
So like a church organ where you've got the chordal section and one like button presses.
It's not a church. I don't think it's
I think it was made for churches. No? Well,
it was made for people's homes because they were trying to sell it like anybody can play music. All you have to do is read this chart and then every time, you know, like press the chords over here and then read the melody over here. It's like, okay, not everyone can do that, but they were really popular back then.
That's awesome.
It sounds amazing.
It sounds great.
And that's what I'm playing in the Devil's Vine video.
Oh, yeah. Hey, who did that video? That video is great.
Thank you. We did it ourselves.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's what you guys have been doing. You've been holed up just like creating.
Yes.
Yeah, man. What else can we do?
Well, we've been lucky to have the time, you know.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, you can't do videos and write and record, so...
So what happens when you put out Never Die, which comes out on June 3rd? That's your third actual full-length album.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we have a ramp up to it. So we just put out the two first singles.
Right.
With the Devil's Vine video. Next week, we're releasing the End of It All video.
Oh, really?
And then, in April, we're going to release two more singles off the record. And two more videos. And then in May, the same thing. So we're kind of ramping it up, putting some videos out there.
Okay.
And then in June, the whole thing will come out. But let me tell you about the other thing we're doing, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
So we recorded 20 tracks, and that's too many to go into a vinyl. So what we're doing is, if anybody who pre-orders the vinyl, they get to listen to all 20 tracks on a stream, and then they get to choose their favorite 10 and email us and put in their vote. And then at the end of the month, we're going to tally together and see what the consensus is before we make the vinyl order.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're excited because we're getting some really cool feedback. And it was kind of hard for us to decide because, you know, over the course of 2 years, with our own home studio and working with John Michael, the songs vary greatly. They're different stylistically. They're different with instruments. And like, they don't really all go together as an album normally would, where you go and do it all at the same time. So it's kind of hard for us to decide what to put on there. And so we're just decided to let
them decide.
Let everyone help us decide.
That's great, though. I mean, it's
exciting.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to do something a little bit different that involves the fans. You know,
totally.
So
yeah.
So, are you going to go out on the road again? Like, do you have plans now that it looks like things are normalizing?
Yeah, we're planning. Yeah, they're opening up. We're working on Europe for the end of the year.
Okay.
That's the plan right now. People are like our booker people. The bookers are just a little like hesitant to commit still. I think they've had so many cancellations that they want to push it out a ways, at least on our side.
Yeah.
We're kind of just getting in. We have some personal stuff we're dealing with that we need to kind of be around for a little while. So we're getting there.
Yeah. But our agent in Europe did reach out and say, hey, you know, what about this fall? And the timing for that, you know, is pretty good with the record coming out in the summer. And so we're going to shoot for that, but
we miss it. I was thumbing through Instagram today, looking back at like all our tour photos and stuff and just being like, damn it. I missed that so much. Like, I really miss traveling and playing. I hadn't until today. Today, I finally was like, crap, I missed doing that. I really need to go back out there. So,
well, and then also speaking of that, the reason why he was doing that is because we were looking for a picture of us with a band that we played with in Europe from Ukraine. And we're doing a campaign to help them.
That's right.
And we wanted to talk to you about
that. Please do.
Okay. So we were lucky to play with a band from Ukraine called Hypnotunes a couple years ago. And super fantastic dudes, just wonderful people, great band. And their lead singer right now, Gera, is actually volunteering over there. He's in Ukraine and he is moving people to the border that need to get out of the country. And he's also buying supplies with a couple of other volunteers, and they're running them to the troops, like boots, vests, goggles, whatever they need. And so they're funding all that themselves right now, all the fuel and
housing
people, feeding people. Really just brave dude. And so he actually posted today about needing funds, like they need help, and that's what they need the most. It's just money to buy gas and whatever it is that they're doing. So we're doing a thing, it's called Bands Band Together, and Carly came up with that.
It's a hashtag. Bands Together, and we're going to try to get as many bands involved as possible, and hopefully it'll start spreading, you know, and people can spread the word through their fans and their friends that are in different bands, and just funnel the money to them to help them, because we have a direct connection with somebody there. They wanted us to come and play with them there. We were invited there to play with them, and they were going to host us, and you know, they were really cool people.
How do they give money to, is there a Bands Band Together site?
So we're working that out right. Actually, this is all happening today. We woke up this morning and we're like, we're going to do this. Okay. So,
yeah, because he messaged us overnight and told us more about his situation. And we were like, well, how can we help? I know there's something we can do here.
Well, there's a way to send them money directly. Yeah. It's to an IBAN. It's a little complicated. It's an IBAN number.
Sorry, why don't you guys, when you figure that out, since this show comes out on Friday, like email me this stuff and I'll put it in the text of the podcast and talk about it in the intro and the outro.
Awesome.
In a clear way that doesn't send out any confusion. But that's awesome that you're doing
exactly.
That. I also saw that there was like some way you were giving $5 from your merch to Ukraine. Was that right?
No, that might not be us. We're just doing like, we are going to do a raffle. We are going to do a raffle. Damn it, Johnny. No, but we are going to raffle off some of the really high dollar stuff that Carly makes, some of her chain stitch patches. And we thought about maybe even like some piece of gear or something from the band itself.
And maybe some custom Ghost Wolf's Hysteric Glamour clothing or stuff like that.
Yeah, some of the high dollar stuff. Go ahead.
Well, just what we're offering is so normally when we first launched the campaign, you know, for the new record, if you pre-ordered the vinyl, then you got to hear the 20 songs and pick your top 10, you know, that whole thing. Well, for the band's band together, we're offering that to anybody who donates money to you, the campaign for Ukraine.
Oh, awesome.
So you don't have to pre-order the record anymore. You know, if you want to donate to this campaign, you know, pay what you will. And then that's what we're offering. You get to hear the 20 tracks and email us your top 10 favorites.
And if you already did that with us, then you can have any music from us. Just email us. We'll send you
digital downloads,
whatever download you want.
Yeah.
We'll give you all of our catalog. We don't really care. We just want, it's not about our music. It's about just getting, it's about using the network of people that we've built
right
all around the world. And then all the networks of people that we know to try to get money to some people that are on the ground right now doing good in that place. So,
yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Did all of that merch stuff and your clothing and stuff like get you guys through the pandemic of like 2020? Was that really helpful to like?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. The online stuff has been great. We did a few different special things throughout the pandemic and people who have subscribed to us on Bandcamp helped us record the record and helped us, you know, have the time to do some of that stuff. And then also, you know, some different 7-inch limited series lathe cut things that we did, and you know, the clothing and all sorts of stuff. You know, we've stayed busy just trying to create and get it out there, and we're thankful to everybody who has supported us through.
It's amazing how supportive people became during that time. Like,
yes.
I don't know if you guys did live streams, but at least like the first couple of months of live streams, I was like, Jesus, why was I ever even going anywhere to play gigs?
I know.
If I could throw on a pair of pants and throw my phone up and sing in here, I'm fine.
Yeah. I don't have to get dressed. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We didn't get into the live streams as much because of the sound. You know, it'd be hard to capture our sound in that setting.
Right.
You know,
right.
We don't really have a way to do that. But we were happy to see that so many of our friends were able to, you know, buy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in this band Skyrock. It's like a 7-person band, and we started doing them. And
wow,
that was like a sonic undertaking. Those are like 4.5 hour sound checks. And like, it was,
wow.
It was fucking crazy.
Totally.
Yeah.
That would be hard.
And still then you realize everyone's probably just listening on their phone, and the kick drum, no matter how long you spent trying to make it sound like tough, it was still like going,
yeah. You know? Damn it. Yeah, that's, we just decided not to even try.
Yeah.
We did do we did some special videos where people could buy tickets, but we like pre-produced them.
Yeah, we did a ticketed event.
That was fun. And that was kind of our way of maintaining control over all that without having to go live.
I know a few people that did that, and those things ended up being really cool.
Yeah, it was great. We had people sending us videos of them watching like with popcorn and wine and stuff at home on their big screen, you know, like if it kind of like a pay-per-view kind of vibe. That was really, we need to do that again. But we also want people to get out and if they're comfortable, go to shows too, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's the real love right there for us. But it was really interesting to see what we could do, you know, with the cards we were dealt the last couple of years. No, everybody had to do that. So it was pretty fast. Someone's going to write a book on it someday.
Yeah.
You know, what did the musicians of the world do?
Why don't you write it?
Weren't you guys?
Shit.
Were you guys in that, in that Ismael Quintanilla book?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, you know yeah. He's about? The photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
I know him. We know him. We met him. No, but he did take a photo of us at one point, but I haven't seen that book. What's that about?
I heard about that book.
Yeah.
That looked really cool.
He went around and like shot photos of people through their window. And I think he started like in April of 20. He started pretty early on because I mean, he did mine like in April or May of 2020.
And was that in the Chronicle? Some of those?
Yeah. They were advertising it there. There was a story about it.
Yeah, there was a story.
And then I think he gave the proceeds to Ham or something when he put it out.
Sweet. David Brendan Hall did a photo of us like that too.
Yeah.
He did. He was going around taking like pandemic portraits.
Where I saw you guys. Okay.
Yeah, okay. We were on our porch. And then also we did a video with Jorge. He formerly worked at KTX and he did a socially distanced video with us where we played.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool. Yeah. So, you know, people were doing what they had to. It was really great to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was weird. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Well, there's people like, obviously you said you missed playing and stuff like that, but there's people that came out of it like last year, like I don't have to do as much as I did before. Like I was really running myself ragged for no reason. And then the other half of the people were like, dude, I'm starting 5 new bands. I'm playing every night. I'm going on tour. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did you guys come out of it?
Definitely the latter.
Yeah, like ready to go.
we probably actually invented like 4 other side project bands that we haven't announced yet. There's 10 tape reels under my 388 right now on the desk that have music I haven't even transferred to the computer. I mean, look at us. We got 8 music videos that are in the works right now, 20 songs that can't even fit on a vinyl. But yeah, it did, in terms of touring, it did make us kind of think about the time cost of that versus like other ways to reach people, uh-huh. which has been really interesting. And it's actually funny because it's stuff we always like talked about driving around, like, God, we're in this car all day today. What else could we be doing right now? You know? But then you get to the show and it's all worth it.
Right.
So I think it's going to like hone our marketing skills. Maybe. I don't know. We don't like to think like that too much, but you kind of have to, you know, well, how are we reaching people?
That's the thing. I feel like, the game has changed digitally, like over the course of the last couple of years where people really almost need to be hyperactive on social media in order to even be seen in the algorithm or however, you know, you want to look at it, but it's just not really, I don't know. That's just a lot to take on. You know, some people have that ability and you know, like, or time.
Yeah.
And some don't.
Some people there, I have friends and they have a groove. Like I'll go to a thing, like I've gone to a couple of really big things and I've been a part of them and like played them and I get home and I'm, oh fuck, I forgot this. My camera was in my pocket the whole time. I was just excited to see people. But I know I have friends of mine that like are always like doing it and it's not like terribly forced. They've just worked it into the groove of their day.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's like we're evolving as people or, I don't know,
or devolving,
devolving. Too, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really call it devolving.
I know. That's the wrong word. We're changing for, and it'll be, we don't know if it'll be for the better or the worse. But it is, it for us, it's like we look at it like we have our own TV studio now in our house.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can broadcast from there. I know a lot of people are doing that. But we also need to get out and be seen and play shows. And that's really where the strongest connections have happened for us as a band. So,
and we've never taken the leap to be like live on Instagram constantly or a bunch of, I mean, we post on there, but, you know, or on TikTok or wherever, all these other places you can be now. We haven't, you know, jumped into any of that yet, you know, and I don't know if we will or not, because we also need time to actually work on the art and work on the videos themselves and work on the recording. And it, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day. Like,
I mean, she probably had like at least 30 hours of editing in that Devil's Vine video.
Sure.
On top of the shooting. I mean, it was just days of work.
So please watch it. So please watch it.
People,
there's a whole section in your at theghostwolves.com that's videos, and you can that's on there. And I'm sure the end of it all. Do you know what day that's dropping, or do you not know yet?
Next Tuesday. Okay, so what date is that?
By the time this comes out, it'll be out.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, this will come out when?
Next Friday.
Okay, yeah, it'll be out by then.
Great.
Yeah. So a week from today.
A week from today, baby.
Yeah, baby.
So what's the show at the Spider House Ballroom?
That is a show we were just asked to do. It's kind of an early thing for folks in Austin who have to work on Mondays and don't want to be up until 1 with us. It's a band called Bird Casino, who we're pals with, and they have some friends that are playing. It's just kind of a cool thing. We haven't played up there in a while, so should be cool.
Yeah, I like that place.
Yeah, we love that room. And yeah, I'm just trying to get back in the groove, you know. We've been playing ABGB mostly, like the last few gigs we did. So,
Now we're like on a Sunday roll too. We've got the Continental on a Sunday with Alejandro. We got the Sunday at the Spider House. And then I think it's the first or second Sunday in April we're playing again.
Yeah, with P-Lander Z.
Yeah, P-Lander Z.
You know those guys? Oh, man, P-Lander Z. They're a punk band from Austin. They're Japanese guys, and they wear like...
And girls.
Oh, and girls too. And they wear like anime costume sort of things. And they're the lead guy, Yellow. He's an artist. You may have seen his art around. He's just crazy.
So and they're putting a festival together. They have it every year.
Yeah.
It had been during South By, and we played it a few years ago.
They're amazing.
But yeah, it's going to be...
P-Lander Z.
I just wrote down their name.
Yeah, that's April 10th. And they're like just one of those bands you just can't stop watching them no matter what. You're just, I can't stop looking at these guys. I don't know why.
You're like, what is going on?
What is going on? Really fun. Great for kids, so great fun. For adults. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Very animated.
You know, I bet also like going on tour. Sorry to get back to that. I was thinking this just now that it's probably not as bad because you go out together.
Yeah.
You miss your dogs.
Yes.
They come with us. Unless we're in Europe.
They come with us in the States. And definitely miss them when we go to Europe. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be hard.
It is hard to leave them. But especially since we've been not leaving them the last few years, even harder. But
yeah, you're right. It makes it, because we both have toured before, leaving each other behind. And it makes it hard.
Yeah.
Hard to leave people behind. So we're lucky that way.
You guys know I got a dog... last August. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind?
She's, I don't know. She's a rescue.
A little.
She's a cool. mutt. She's a little over a year old. She's not doing anything bad. She's just laying on the couch right now. but yeah, she's fantastic. They really make your life better.
They do. Absolutely. Yeah. They really every do. Day I'm like on the floor with them, just cuddling and hugging and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. They came to our gig at ABGB. On Saturday, and they had like a whole fan club after. They were surrounded by love, and they were just giving love. It was a beautiful thing.
Who watches them while you play?
Well, they were just in the van sleeping.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
Yeah, they have a little spot.
She's not in that level yet. Faith coolness.
Is she a destroyer? Yeah.
She's pretty destroyed still. Yeah.
Yeah.
We went through those phases.
Yeah, our van has some... damaged from the early years.
Yeah. The one thing we did at the show that we got everybody involved in is we put a big jar of the wolf hair into a jar, and then we got people to cut their hair off and put it in with the wolf hair, and we shook it all up, and we're going to release it into the wind, and we're going to release the beast.
Yeah. What beast?
The Beast Within.
The Beast.
Oh, The Beast Within. Okay, because I was like, wait a minute. <'Cause>...
We're just going to let our dogs go. We're just going to let them go.
Releasing the beast.
The wolf hair is going to carry the
people
hair of the people hair into the...
It's like mixing your hair with a wolf and then being in a potion. Carly's doing her witchcraft stuff.
So. Yeah, we're going to release the beast.
Yeah.
Release the beast.
That's pretty fun.
Is there some kind of book people should read if they want to catch up on some of those witchcraft things.
Yeah. There's a lot of good books out there.
There are.
Yeah, I have one. It's an almanac. It goes like day by day, what the moon is doing, and you know, the different times of year, and you know, the different energies and essential oils and herbs and stuff that you can use for different stuff throughout the year. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have anxiety?
Do I?
Yeah.
Not really.
Really? Luckily. What about you, Johnny?
Only if I drink too much coffee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe that's what I'm doing to myself.
Yeah. Got to be careful with the caffeine. I get like 3 cups in and then I'm just thinking about everything and it gets to be overwhelming. But I love coffee so much, Johnny. I can't stop, man.
I can't either. That's one thing during the pandemic that upped. I would just drink coffee all day during the the first few months of 2020. I got into a real bad sort of like, like so bad, like by like 3 o'clock, I'd just be completely exhausted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, it'll get you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm just crashing hard.
I ended up getting off caffeine completely during the pandemic, and I haven't picked it back up.
Thank
yet.
God.
Shit.
So I'm more
if she
into
drinks
the
coffee,
herbal,
it's just whew.
The herbal infusions, you know, where you can get different energy or relaxation or something like that through, you know, just herbal tea.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been getting into lately, mixing my own teas for different things. And
I like the espresso machine.
Yeah.
Helps me dose. You know what I mean? So I'm not making like a huge pot at one time.
Oh,
so I
have a little espresso. Right.
That's my trick. So I know I'm only having one espresso and then I can walk away.
Yeah.
Until he goes back for another one.
Yeah, I know. But there's not like a hot pot of coffee on my counter all day just calling my name.
Right. You
know, that's where I get in trouble. So.
See, mine's easier because I have a Keurig and a on the stove espresso maker.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
And the thing with the on the stove espresso maker is I'll make one in the late afternoon and use the whole thing and drink it over ice.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds glorious.
And then I'm sweating. My upper lip is sweating.
I would have anxiety too if I was on that much caffeine, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Bacon and
you would be ordering me around and have a million other things going on.
even more than I already do. I can be that fine.
She gets
caffeine.
Real intense on coffee. Real intense.
Some people do. Let me ask you this before we go. Throughout that whole like lockdown and having to escape Italy and stuff before everything got shut down and being locked in together, how did you guys do? As like Johnny and Carly?
Well, the thing is we have always, you know, since we started the band, we've been together 24/7. So it wasn't an adjustment for us to be
I guess that's
together.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Because as we toured, we've been confined to a van, you know, for months at a time, just us. So we kind of have worked out a lot of kinks over the years to try to figure out how to get along. And
we have tools. We have tools that we keep. Like the timeout is really important. We found that's a good one. If we start, because I mean, we're both kind of hot-headed people.
Yeah,
I'd say like we both exist on a upper
frequency.
You know, like we're just kind of always going. And I think sometimes those frequencies clash.
Sure,
and then. But the timeout is great. We're just like, timeout, get away, leave me alone for 30 minutes, and then we talk about it later. And that's been, we're not a perfect, you know, heavenly, perfectly thing. What am I trying to say? I'm going to get in trouble saying all this.
Easier,
you know what I'm saying? It's
the
like,
timeout is easier said than done in the heat of the moment as
right.
well. So it's like, that's a good theory, and we really try
it's
to
a good,
remember
yeah.
it.
What I'm trying to say is we aren't perfect and we definitely fight, but we've just tried to manage it and not let it be destructive.
And that's how it's always been, you know, before the pandemic, during the pandemic, through the pandemic, after the pandemic. We didn't have to readjust for being together all the time.
Yeah, I don't think the pandemic really did anything to it. But we're making so many decisions all the time together. Like every 10 seconds, there's an important decision. So obviously we're going to have a fight about that once in a while. But yeah. How did you do with the pandemic? Were you home with your puppy mostly or?
No, I was alone going crazy. I threw myself into the podcast. I did some Zoom songwriting with people. That was fun.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of Zoom hanging out and watched a lot of TV, drank a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
Smoked a lot of weed.
It sounds nice just talking about it in a way.
Well, I mean, it was weird because I was scared. Everyone was scared of everything, and it was just got real odd. I ended up at the end of 2020 for the month of December. My grandmother got a beach house in Galveston, and basically was like, everyone get tested, and come down and stay as long as you want. So I moved to Galveston for a month.
Sweet.
In 2020.
That's awesome.
And that was awesome. Cause it was really nice. Like there'll never be another time I'll live with my grandma for a month as an adult.
That's you know, so cool.
Make her breakfast every day, sit down, shoot the shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You'll treasure that forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of us that were there. Devil's Vine, end of it all, singles out now. You're going to be putting out more singles as the months come. And then June 3rd, Never Die, your third LP out. You guys don't do a Patreon, do you? No.
No.
But we do the Bandcamp
subscribers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and that's, we have people there.
That's just bandcamp.com/theghostwolves?
It's theghostwolves.bandcamp.com.
Okay, sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The Ghost Wolves Dark. Yeah. Okay. So everyone go there and get involved. You'll have more in the intro and outro. I'll know more about bands band together, which by the way, that's awesome that you guys are doing that. And I love these new tunes. Like it seems like there's a, they seem a little more ethereal and dreamy than kind of bombastic and rocking. We didn't really talk about the music that much. Sorry.
Thank you. Well, no, that's okay. We were able to stretch out having our own home studio with the sound and the sonic layers and complexities, I guess. But what we found, though, is going back to the live show with some of these songs, the arrangements are changing to be a little bit more bombastic, as they will.
I was wondering about that because there is like, especially like just in Devil's Vine, it's like, it's a mood. And it kind of stays in that sort of groove, which you're like, I wonder how this will translate at like a bar or so at the Continental Club, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we definitely, we shoot ourselves in the foot with that kind of thing. We have forever where we record it one way and then we just can't do it like that live. We're like, we can't go into a noisy club and do that. So yeah, that's going to be interesting.
But let me show you my new guitar that a friend made me. And that's what we've been kind of making our new sound with for the live show.
Yeah,
but we haven't recorded with it yet.
I got you. There you go.
Oh, wow. What the hell?
It's called the Ghost Wolf.
Wow, that is awesome.
Isn't that cool? And it's kind of like the shape of the wolf head with the nose down here.
Are those the lowest two strings or bass strings?
Yep.
Yeah, fucking rock and roll, dude.
Yeah, this thing is amazing. It makes our show super heavy.
Who made that?
It's a company called Ewol Guitars, Ewol.
Yeah.
But actually, since they're from the Netherlands, they pronounce it Ewol Guitars.
Yeah.
But so it's Ewol, if you can see that.
Dude, that is awesome. Hold on, hold it up. Let me take a picture of that, so people can see it. The whole guitar.
Oh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the guy that made it, Erwin, we played with him when we were in Holland, and he had this awesome guitar, and I was like, oh man, like, what's the story of that guitar? That's really cool. He's like, oh, I made it. You know, I'm an inventor and I, you know, mess around with different designs and this and that. And then he saw us play and he came up to me after. He's like, hey, I want to make you a guitar.
That is so awesome.
Are you serious? Yeah. So we, like, the first year of the pandemic, we were going back and forth with ideas and sketches and how we were going to, you know, how he was going to design it. And then he has like videos of him making it. It's just really cool.
I'll send you a link, Johnny, so you can see if you want.
I would love to see that. Does it have to have a special pickup for the two bass strings? And then like,
well, there's different options on it. So you can play it with a stereo out cable.
That is cool.
And then you can switch it. Like this one is, let's see, mono, so it all goes through just a regular cable.
Yeah.
Or you can do stereo, where the two bass strings would come out, to the bass amp and the other one.
That is so awesome.
Guitar only, bass only, and then a baritone option.
Wow.
And this is a phase switch, and then over here, there's like a kill switch. So you can get like it just to go on and off.
And yeah, really cool. How exciting!
Isn't that rad?
I know. I'm blown away by this.
She gets
thing.
The coolest stuff, man.
We ramped up.
So
because
jealous.
We only have so many guitars worked up on this thing because it's just a different tuning and different beast. But we ramped up to it, and we played like 5 songs at the end of our show at ABGB with it. And it just brought the next level to the show because it was heavy.
Yeah.
And we're really into it.
Yeah. Well, if I can make it to that, I'll probably be able to make it to that Alejandro show, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yeah. That should be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It'd be great to see you.
Yeah, it'd be great to see you guys. Congratulations on all this music. And it's really, man, it's fucking great. And I love
Thank you.
I love all of the new like sensibilities in it and stuff, and like those weird drum sounds.
Thanks.
Everything,
Thank you.
Yeah, man. I'll put links to everything on there, and people can see you guys Sunday, March 20th, at Alejandro Escobedo's South by Southwest party at the Continental Club at 2 p.m. Sunday, March 27th, 6 p.m. at the Spider House Ballroom, and go to theghostwolves.com, check out their videos, and thanks again for doing the show, you guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
Have a good one.
It's great to see you.
Yeah,
you too.
Talking to you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, that was Carly and Johnny Wolf, the Ghost Wolves. Their new album, Never Die, drops June 3rd, but you can check out their singles, Devil's Vine and End of It All, now. Wherever it is you stream and download music, go to theghostwolves.com for all of your Ghost Wolves needs. See them this Sunday, March 20th at 2 p.m. at Alejandro's South by Southwest party at the Continental Club. And gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out theghostwolves.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts. Like it. Give us a rating. Please do it. Come on, man. Get out there. Leave us a rating. Let us know what you think of the show. Subscribe, follow, and rate. Do it. All right? Don't forget to give to Bands Band Together. I'll put a link to it in the text of this podcast. Theghostwolves.com. Go there and check them out. See them Sunday, March 20th at 2 p.m. at Alejandro's South by Southwest party at the Continental Club. All right, guys. I'll talk to you on Tuesday with a full wrap-up of the week. South by Southwest. Have a great weekend. Let's get down. In the mountains of the mountains.